down and capturing the people of Sodom and the area of Sodom. And Abraham's nephew Lot was in, and his family were in that group. When Abraham heard the news that his nephew and his family and all his possessions were hauled off with this four-nation confederacy, he rounded up 318 of his men, that's right, 318, going against a four-nation army. And he operates a covert operation during the night, and he defeats this formidable army. He recaptures his nephew Lot with his family and all their belongings, and he returns with all the spoils of the conquest. And if you go to Genesis 14, it tells the story of on his return, he encounters Melchizedek, who is priest of the, interestingly, of the Most High God. And what happens there? When he encounters him, Melchizedek says to him, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." He delivered your enemies. I mean, think about it. When was the last time you saw 318 guys take on about, you know, I don't know what the number was, maybe 400,000? And win? Melchizedek said, "Remember, Abraham, God Most High has allowed you to do this." And you know what the very next verse says? The very next verse says, Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Abraham knew that his success, his power, his financial security did not come from people, from his job, from his circumstances, from his connection, from his own brain power or his abilities. Abraham knew that his victory came from one source, and that was El Elyon, God alone. And because he was conscious of that, he tithed. He took 10% of everything that God had put in his lap, and he gave it back to the Lord. He gave 10% of everything that God had enabled him to collect. If you follow on, he actually went beyond that, because he then returned to Sodom and the people of all the things that he had taken. Dear friends, I find that nothing gets people more bent out of shape than when somebody like me starts to proclaim that we ought to give 10% of our income back to God. I know Christians who've been Christians for years and years and years and years, and they will admit to me in private chatting that, you know, I just can't get to that place. I said, "Why? Why is it such a big thing?" They said, "Well, 10%, you're talking about money again. You're going to turn people off. You're going to send them away from church." Dear friend, we don't need your money. God doesn't need your money. You need God's money. Did you hear that? God doesn't need your money. He created this whole universe. Next time you think that 10% is a lot, turn it around. You're giving him 10. He's giving you 90. We get all bent out of shape because he asks us for 10 back to simply acknowledge you're the Most High. Everything I have is a gift from you anyway, so I'm acknowledging that by giving you 10%. Why is that so hard? I remember when my son was just a little tyke, I took him out to McDonald's one day, and we're sitting there, and I ordered him a hamburger and fries, and he's eating away, you know, enjoying his fries. So I reached over and grabbed one of his French fries, and he looked at me, gave me this scowl look, and moved his fries back, and he said, "No, they're my fries." I thought, "You little dirty rotter. I bought those things for you. I gave them to you. I can go back and order 100 of them. I'll bury you in fries, kid." And you're going, "Yeah, my fries." Isn't that exactly how we live? God dumps every single blessing of life into our hands, and he says, "Can I have fries? Yeah, my fries. My 10. You can't have that." I'm going to say something that might make some of you mad, but it's worth the risk. If you are not giving at least 10% of all that God blesses you with back to him, you do not know the Most High God. And you are trusting in something else for your security. I chuckle when I hear people say, "You know, if I just won the lottery, or if I got an inheritance, or I came upon some money, if I got a big raise, or then I'd give to God." No, you wouldn't. You won't do it. If you are not willing to acknowledge El Elyon in your possessions now, in whatever circumstances you are in, you're not going to do it someday when your circumstances change. The Bible says the one who is faithful in a little will be faithful in much. The Bible also says those who know their God, who know Him, they will do exploits. They will accomplish great things. Perception, power, possessions. Acknowledging God as the Most High also brings perseverance. Listen to these words from Psalm 91. We actually had them read earlier in the service. Let me just, the first couple of verses. David said, if you make the Most High your dwelling, not just a name you cite once in a while, make Him your living place. Make Him the place you run into every day. If you make the Most High God your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. And he goes on to explain why. And you may say, well, that sounds nice, Dave, but you know what? It just isn't true. I trusted God and disaster hit. My life's a walking war zone. How does that happen to the child of God? How can I trust a God who allows pain? Take a look again at the life of Job. After Satan had stripped him of everything he had, Job said, the Lord gave, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. And then things went from bad to worse, and his health crumbled, and he's sitting on broken pieces of pottery, scraping his boils. Talk about a rough life. Everything's gone. His life's an absolute hellhole. And his wife even comes to him and says, curse God and die. Just get it over with. Why are you still holding on to your integrity? He replied to her, you're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. You know, you and I can read that book nowadays, and we know the story, the cosmic story behind the earthly story. We know that there was this thing going on between Satan and God. We know that. But you know what? In the book of Job, not one time does God ever reveal to Job himself the story behind the story. And many times life is like that. We're going through life and we're trusting God and we're seeing Him work. We're going through good times and bad times, but we don't know the full story. That's because His thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are higher than our ways. And we'll never know the full story until the end of it all. It's only those who know El Elyon who can continue in the midst of things we don't understand while they're happening and still praise Him. When tragedy hits, dear friends, if we do not see God as the Most High and loving, we will charge God and other people with wrongdoing. You see, because we got to find somebody to blame, somebody to shoot, somebody to curse because of our bad experiences. Some of you may be in that position this morning. Your circumstances are overwhelming you. You're in pain. It's intense. Things seem to be coming in on you, and you wonder, where am I going to go with this? You're looking for somebody to blame and somebody to strike out at. In Luke 22, verse 31, Jesus said to Simon, to Peter, He said, Simon, Satan has asked, again, getting permission, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon. Ah, good, good. What did you pray? He said, I prayed for you that your faith may not fail. What? He's asked to sift me like wheat and you're praying that I won't fail? Why didn't you pray that He won't sift me like wheat? Why didn't you pray that my circumstances get rosy and everything's wonderful? Jesus said, no, no, no. I prayed that your faith will not fail. I'm not going to take you out of this. I'm going to let Him sift you like wheat. I'm going to let you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to let you go through that horrendous circumstance, but I'm praying for you every minute that your faith will not fail. I'm praying for you every minute that in the midst of that horrible circumstances, you continue to keep your eyes fixed on me and realize that I have a purpose for you in the midst of it. That's what I'm praying for you. Remember the story of Joseph right here in Egypt? His brothers, nice guys, sold him into slavery. Pretended he was dead, told the father he was killed. He
He's brought down here by a group of traitors, sold down here to Potiphar, but he's faithful. Trust the Lord. Like many of you refugees, you didn't ask to come here. You're here in circumstances that you wish you could change. And you wish to God that somehow, somebody would see, somebody, maybe a rich Kawaga, some other rich foreigner will see and bring you under his arm. Be faithful to your God. Joseph looked up and realized there was a Most High God who was overseeing his life, even though he couldn't understand his circumstances. He was faithful. He gave himself consistently. He became house help. But because of his faithfulness, because of his stalwart character, because of his integrity, he rose to be in charge of all of Potiphar's household. And then when his wife tried to seduce him, how easy it is when you're in a rough circumstance in life, say, life's a mess anyway, give in. Joseph said, no way, I will hang on to my integrity. And he walked out of that house, he ran out of that house, rather than allow that wife to seduce him. She turned it on him, framed him, threw him in jail. 7 years he spent in jail. 7 years. Not some nice high-class prison. An ancient, rotting hole in the ground. 7 years. Do you think you might have gotten a little bitter? Think you might have wished for home where Dad was still wondering if you ever might be alive? Think you might wonder, why did those brothers do that to me? Why did Potiphar's wife do that? Why is life so cruel? For 7 years, that man continued to be faithful to God, continued to do his best in the prison. He became in charge of all the prisoners. Finally, God gives that dream. The dream's interpreted. He's lifted to number 2 in command in this country. Number 2 under Pharaoh. Looks after the whole food distribution program. For 14 years, he manages that program in Egypt. At the end of the story, you know it. You read it, the end of the book of Genesis. If you haven't read it lately, go read it this afternoon. His brothers come down here. You know, Joseph plays with them, kind of. They don't know it's him. But finally, at the end of the story, he reveals himself that it's Joseph. These brothers instantly go into a tailspin. Oh my goodness. He's going to have our head. We sold him. We ripped him off. We hurt him. He's going to get us back big time. We are in big trouble. The Bible says that Joseph wept. He cried. He turned to his brothers and he says, you guys, what you did to me, you meant it for evil. No doubt about it. I'm not whitewashing that. You meant it for evil. You meant to harm me. But God meant it for good, to the saving of many lives. Dear friends, you and I will not have that perspective on life until we lift our eyes and see and acknowledge and worship El Elyon, the Most High God. But when we do, it gives us an ability to persevere through the horrible circumstances of life and come out victorious. Amen? May that be your story. Purity is another direct result of acknowledging God as the Most High. Let me be really honest with you here and express to you a deep concern of my heart. I come across many Christians who are bitter people, full of anger, holding grudges over past hurts, losses, wounds, words spoken against them. Let's face it, we've all had it. But some people go through circumstances and they come out better, while others come out bitter. If we truly recognize God as the Most High, we will allow God to draw out the poison from our soul and allow Him to purify us. When we acknowledge the Most High God, I believe we can take 3 cleansing steps. First one, we will realize that although God never justifies another person's wrong, it in no way thwarts His purpose in our lives. Number 2, we will realize that God is able to turn anything done against us to our advantage
if we will respond properly. And number three, we will readily, therefore, confess any bitterness, any anger, hostility. We will forgive those who have hurt us. We will release them to God, realizing that God has a purpose for their life just as He does for us. And in that process, dear friends, we are purified, made whole. Acknowledging God as the Most High affects perception, power, possessions, perseverance, and purity. Let me hasten this morning to add one more. It also produces praise. Not just Friday morning praise. I'm talking about great life-changing praise. If you read the Psalms, you discover most of them are written by David, where he's literally overflowing with praise, even though his circumstances weren't always that easy. You may see, well, King David, sure, there he's sitting on his throne, he's being fanned by all these pretty maidens, fed grapes, you know, lying on a sofa. I'd praise the Lord too. No. Most of the Psalms of praise were written when David was on the run, when David was being hunted like an animal. The one we read earlier, Psalm 91, was written by David when he was in a cave waiting for King Saul and his army to hunt him down and kill him like an animal. It was there, where he wrote these words. Or pardon me, Psalm 57 was also written. In Psalm 57, verse 1, he refers to his condition as a disaster. And yet in verse 2 he says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. Do you see that? David was able to look beyond Saul, beyond the cave, beyond the circumstances, up into the eyes of God Most High. And what happened? He starts singing. That's right. Not just hiding. And he starts singing. And what does he sing? He overflows with praise. He says, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. He's just pouring forth with praise. You say, how could he do that? When he's in such difficult circumstances, he could do it because he acknowledged the Most High God. Psalm 7:10, he stated, my shield is God Most High, who saves the upright in heart. Psalm 91:1-2, he declared, as we read earlier, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You know, it took Nebuchadnezzar a lot longer to get to that same place. He had to go 7 years with his mind like an animal. 7 years of imbecility, 7 years of social ostracization. But he finally got to the place where David was, where he realized that he was not God, and God was. May his declaration be the same one that comes from your soul today. I close with his words. Now I praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything He does is right and all His ways are just. And those who walk in pride, He is able to humble. Is your spirit in tune this morning to hear the voice of God say, be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. I will be exalted in all the earth. And the reason that's going to happen is because of who I am. I am El Elyon. I am the Most High God. Father, we pause to praise You here this morning. We pause to bow our heads, indeed to bow our very lives before You and acknowledge that You are the Most High God. Forgive us, Lord, for the many, many times we bite into Satan's lie and believe that we're in this life to lift ourselves higher, to put ourselves forward. Lord, forgive us for the way we mess our lives up whenever we do that. I pray for each person here this morning who has heard Your Spirit whisper to their heart today. I pray that in their own way, they would, with their lips, with their life, with their body, with their money, with their future, with their children, with their everything, Lord, that they would simply acknowledge that You are the Most High God, and they submit their lives to You as a result. Do this, Lord, for each of us, we pray. and then allow us to enjoy the multiple benefits of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take time to worship the Lord for who He is.